It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
So hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It is the Daily Talk Show, episode 1009.
Happy Friday, everybody. What's happening? What's going on?
It's, Fat Fridays. We had a beautiful lunch, thanks to Jess.
Yeah, and so we've already eaten it, mm-hmm. but I'd like to share it with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to burp because you can get a sense of what we had when, mm-hmm. if I burped, but that's disgusting. Jess is editing the episodes at the moment. Mm-hmm. So right now, insert Jess, the photo George took of your beautiful food you cooked.
That's next level Premiere Pro action.
If you're on
it?
YouTube, fucking give Jess applause, hit the like button.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Jess dropping in.
With the Ken Burns effect.
I want blurred background. Yeah,
key framing.
I mean, it might just be a still image, just smack bang mm-hmm. in the middle, but it was beautiful. Jess cooked us kebabs.
Yeah.
Or is she gyros?
Yeah, she
there's a few ways of saying
nice.
It.
It was very nice.
Mate, it was so good. Mm-hmm. But she did warn us.
Mm-hmm. Bit burpy. I mean,
well, she said it would come from the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll all be farting is what she said.
That's what she did say.
It's good seeing her, like Jess has like really lent into the editing.
Yeah.
Which got me thinking things that we've learnt recently. Yeah. I want to try and do more things for the first time.
Okay, do more things for the first time.
So think about like, so that the feeling of editing, like I've never been an After Effects guy.
Yeah.
We're working on some projects at the moment that are After Effects heavy, so we have contractors working on it, GB's working on it.
You've definitely downloaded it, opened it up.
Yeah.
But it's more, Jess is not, her craft isn't editing. Mm-hmm. And so this is like you, what
getting
would it
into
like
fixing our lock.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a locksmith sort of job. I wonder if people are seeing, we have the light from the TV. I wonder if they'll see that
because
we got our Fetch TV. We've got all the channels in the office. It's quite fancy.
I mean, we were talking about TVs mm-hmm. earlier.
So the first thing, on the first thing.
Fuck, it's hard, mate. You mm-hmm. get old and you just, you know, mm-hmm. get stuck in your ways.
Yeah, yeah. Cooking something maybe.
I mean, there's lots probably that you're not doing at the house. What about something that's relating to a house because you do live in one that you've never done?
Like doing renos or something.
Gardening.
Yeah,
watering.
The herb garden thing is something
actually,
that I've been thought about.
Going to Bunnings, buying something that you could construct and have outdoor setting, a seat, fishing. You've been fishing? You've been fishing,
once, yeah. I did it in...
Yeah, so you've done that.
Maroombula, I think, no.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like the person, you know, the dude who's 30 you see down the skate bowl at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Is that really a thing?
In full pads, and you know that he's there. He's obviously not a skater, but he's getting into it. But he's getting early. He's getting there early, and he's wearing all the pads. I'm talking wrist pads, elbow pads, knee pads, shin pads.
Is this really a thing?
I've seen a few people. I've driven past skate parks. And I'm like, that's someone who's starting later in life.
Yeah.
That's someone who it's very hard to do that shit later in life.
Yeah.
Because you're bigger, you're heavier, your bones are fucking will break.
Yeah.
And won't recover like a kid, which is hard. But that's something like imagine you just hanging down the skate park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was even thinking like getting Brie into golf.
Yeah.
Just seeing the, it's funny seeing someone starting from the start and trying to convince her like, it's okay to be shit at the start because there is, I think that as you get older, there's an expectation that for some reason, as soon as you start something, you're meant to be good at it. Mm-mm. I think it's because we've done lots of things when we're kids and then we actually end up just doing those things for the rest of our lives. And
well,
so
you do the thing you're good at or you gravitate towards.
And so you don't ever sort of, I think that a lot of people see failing or seeing like not being good at something as a reason to not do it or that they're not designed for it.
It's interesting because you've got to have a like for something to stick through the bit where you are bad at it.
Yeah.
So editing, I'm not amazing, but there was that time where had no clue about anything.
Yeah.
But I liked it enough. It was stimulating enough. Whereas people just don't stick to things. Mm-hmm. that it doesn't stimulate them enough and they're not good at, which is, you know. But then it's like joining a club where you're really bad. Mm-hmm. You're the worst there.
Yeah.
Because if you're the best at anything in the circle of people that you're hanging around, you don't learn a great deal.
Mm-hmm. The on the editing thing, I feel like when you open up Premiere Pro, I remember when I first opened it up, it seems so mysterious or seems like what are all these things? But then once you overcome that, like I even think about that with web development. There's been so many times where I've downloaded the coding tools and like creating sort of, by the way, no IT professional emailed about deploying Macintosh computers.
It was boring. But I'm sure if you could find somebody.
Liv emailed about not knowing what Slack was.
Dude, so many people don't know what Slack is.
There was just one person though.
But that's one
person. And Liv just finished high school, so of course.
Yeah. But think about all the, if you're in a dental surgery, and who's using
you
Slack?
You could be using Slack. But anyway, so yeah, opening up Premiere Pro, it's a big sort of shock. Yeah.
All of these things are unusual. But that's the thing. It's not, but you, like I said, you're not going to stick at anything if you don't like it. Yeah. And you'll only stick at it for a bit if you just have the attitude of, I just want to see if I can stick at it for a while. You'll get bored.
I guess we've also spoken about when you have kids, you have to relearn things or you have to, or you realize if you're not good at something. So for instance, one of our clients is a school and they have a program designed for parents to learn about English and maths.
Really?
So that they can then pass that on to their kids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, dealing with schools and filming at schools, hearing about the early stage English classes makes you, because I can't remember the classes I was doing from prep to, like, other than art, sport, the things that I really like, moments, but they're not the vowels, all that, nouns, have no idea what they still are. But think about how you, it was interesting how you apply them to language or spot these things, but you can't remember all this stuff, but it was all built in these foundational years that you can't remember, but somehow there's things in your mind, which is why young kids, it's so important for what they're consuming. Like Bodhi punched me in the face. Like a jab.
Yeah.
Punch me in the face, in the lip.
Why did he do that?
I didn't even blink.
Flinch. Was he angry?
He was angry. Punched me in the face because I picked him up because he wanted to go into our next door neighbor's house. I was like, dude.
Punch? Was that the first punch?
We're going to fucking blow up. All right, let's go home. See ya. Get home. No TV. Because I know he loves it. We've gotten a bit of a pattern. I think it's probably...
Did he not? Like, surely he senses when he's punched you in the face that things aren't going to be good.
Of course.
Did you scare that? I would have scared the shit out of him.
This is the problem. You can't, people.
Oh, really?
Scaring people's no good. Scaring consequences. The consequence shouldn't be, I'm scared of my dad, so I will never act again. The consequence is something's taken away. And so what we've taken away this whole entire week, TV, unplugged it, said to him, mate, it's unplugged.
Yeah.
Oh, why is it not working? I didn't want to say it's broken. Didn't want to lie. I just said it's unplugged. No TV. So the whole entire week.
You have just, like, so you've connected the dots for him, haven't you? You said the reason the TV's not on is because you punched me in the face.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of gone, but the benefit of the kid who doesn't watch TV is so great.
Really?
He's a different guy. A different guy.
That's interesting. What's he doing on Instagram?
Nah, he loves music, so he wants to play music every now and then, but I don't let him touch my phone because of the...
So when you say no TV, no phone as well?
Well, I didn't say no phone, but I'm not giving him any TV on my phone.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So when
not.
You say TV, you're just talking free-to-air? Is it's he allowed just, to watch YouTube?
Big TV. It's YouTube.
So he can watch YouTube or no?
There's no 64-inch television projecting any kind of image.
So no, that affects him. Like, as in that impact, like, surely he would just watch everything on a phone.
But he's not allowed the phone.
Okay.
So it's okay, no let's go as well. 64-inch, let's go iPhone 11.
No iPhone.
No iPhone, no screen time at home.
Well, see, that's
different guy.
Yeah, no screen time is different to no TV.
So no screen time anywhere other than looking at the Spotify songs mm-hmm. and seeing the background image. He loves looking at the background image. Mm-hmm. So he finds his song and some of them have animated like text. And
what does he do? What else is he doing?
So, but this is the thing. He wants to bake. Mm-hmm. He wants to play with daddy.
Can we bake something?
Yeah, he calls himself a little baker. Uh-huh. So he bakes. But he's just such a, eats dinner like with us. It is amazing. It is amazing how destructive screens are, seeing it in a child.
And so then does that make you want to just continue no screens?
Oh, well, we haven't had the TV on all week. It's been great.
And so how long is he meant to not have the TV on for?
I think we'll watch a family movie tonight. Mm-hmm. So he knows family movie night is Friday.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to give him back telly anytime soon. Mm-hmm. All week, like other than Friday night.
And so when you're saying telly, you are saying the phone as well?
Yeah, mate. The phone is the phone is crack cocaine. The 64 inch is the coke, a bag of coke.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But just getting rid of, just being like you're being a naughty boy, no more coke, but you can still have the crack.
No, but that's the thing. You don't go to the crack. The crack is like the addict that's found it.
But once you find the crack cocaine, you're on it.
Hard to find. No, who's cooking up crack?
Yeah, but I think that analogy, the problem with it is that
just no screens. It's no screens.
No screens. Because you keep saying no telly. And when I think no telly.
Yeah, but that's the biggest thing. We already have a real problem with him using our iPhone. Mm-hmm. Because it's the worst because he goes on YouTube and he does what we do, adults. Yeah. Bored of that, onto the next. Mm-hmm. Okay, nah, bored of that, 2 minutes in, nah, 1 minute.
Well, that's what I feel like is more destructive. Like GB and I were talking about how we love TVs and how having a TV in your bedroom as a kid was the best thing in the world.
Yeah, not much has changed. Like, because he's in love with it. I was mm-hmm. in love with it.
But there's a difference between the interacting of like switching. Yeah. Like we would put something on and you would watch it on TV. Now like you scroll, like you're watching 7 second reels.
Your attention span mm-hmm. is shot.
It's not even, is it attention span?
Yeah, because you're bored. Like, you're on to the next. It's totally attention. Because you think about the effort required to mm-hmm. watch a 2.5 hour film. Mm-hmm. You have to sit through it. You've got to
engage with the characters. Yeah.
Whereas a YouTube video, mm-hmm. you can next, bored, I'm bored.
But when he's watching the big TV, is he actually, the Apple TV remote's a pain in the ass. So he can switch off.
Knows exactly how to rock that thing. Uh-huh. And so I don't know. It's amazing. I knew this. We had to let him become addicted.
Seth Godin told you this.
No.
I don't know if you had to let him become addicted.
No, but to realize the difference mm-hmm. and see how ratty and not ratty.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of ratty, instant?
Yeah, it's like he was like all good with it. He's mm-hmm. like yeah. So he's in his room playing Lego. Building mm-hmm. me things. Mm-hmm. Freak. We have a rat trap in this house, mm-hmm. in this building.
Yeah.
Jess thinks she spotted a mouse. No one else saw it. There was other people in the room. Mm-hmm. The mouse has either decided I've been spotted, I'm gone, and I'm actually getting out of this place, or there was never the mouse. But mm-hmm. I bought the trap. The only thing the trap has got is my son when he came in here.
Oh, really?
And he's like, daddy. And I turn around, look over, and the rat trap, this is a big fucker. The rat trap has snapped his T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I didn't see how he picked it up or what he did. It was stuck to his, it was hanging.
Oh, no.
Hanging on his T-shirt. And I'm just so thankful that it didn't snap his hand.
Is there a child warning on the device?
Nah, it's matte black and mm-hmm. it looks like a killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you put your hand in it?
No. Would you? Yeah, give it a go.
No, I don't want to.
I mean, if Bodhi did it, surely
no,
you can.
No,
you
didn't
do it.
Though. You got it snapped on the, this is
you
not
your, do
your
top?
This is not, I'll get mm-hmm. it and I'll snap it on my top.
Okay, here we go. So he's, it's sort of like a plasticky looking thing. It's very modern compared to your standard, one that you would see back in the day, which was metal.
It's huge, dude. All right. So I'll just put my top hand. Yeah. Ah! Whoa.
Oh, my God.
That was violent, wasn't it?
And that got him.
That got him like that.
Oh, my God.
So I was hanging like that. Yeah. Oh, that's my nipple.
Well, that's not good.
So, yeah, anyway, that's that was very lucky. I think that would hurt putting your hand in there. I do not want to put my hand in there.
Well, definitely.
Oh, Jesus.
You're still not 100%.
Oh, fucking not. I'm all right, though, but I'm just not 100%.
I was talking, come on, dude. I was talking to Scooter Derek. He got his vaccine and...
he's still here with us?
Yes. Yeah, and he's pissed off at just how people are talking about the vaccine.
In what way?
Don't know. He just... he was saying that a bunch of his, because he's over 50, he's saying a bunch of his over 50 mates are skeptical about it all, worried about the blood clots. And he was saying, I'm worried about the blood clot. Like, I've always been worried about blood clots, always. But you got to do it. It's your responsibility.
Yeah, sure.
But he was also saying that he was speaking to a healthcare person and they told him that after they got their vaccine, the next day they were a bit grumpy, a bit sort of on edge. And he said, watch out for it. And Scooter this morning, before he called me, he said he had a blow up with his partner Fiona. And he said it was because of the vaccine.
I'm going to look this up. I was listening to a really interesting podcast about the data from searches on Google that actually revealed some of the symptoms of COVID before they announced that they were symptoms. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can't remember what it was, but you can imagine
dry cough.
Yeah. So imagine thousands of people and you see the spike before it got onto the list of what the, who, or the,
do you know what would be really interesting? It's a bit dark, but looking up, you can look at different countries. So you could look up India and see oxygen and see if people are fucking Googling.
Yeah, dude.
To find oxygen.
Dude, this is exactly what happened in the...
let's have a look.
So, grumpy from COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Irritable, man.
Vaccine,
and Google. Yeah. And so, this is... what's it called? Again, Google Trends. So, Google Trends, you can put in a search result.
Yeah.
And it will show you on a graph its popularity.
I haven't seen any of the grumpy... seen anxious after, but maybe that's just because you're thinking you get a blood clot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I can't see it here. But this is a thing. I heard people sweating through the mattress. Glenn said that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Glenn said he had his vaccine and sweated profusely. And then I had someone else. Amy's sister had one. She's a
healthcare worker.
Yeah, one of the healthcare workers works with disability.
God. What? Okay, so oxygen in the past 12 months.
Oh, wow.
If you look at the line graph of India, it has gone from a 9, I don't know what the numbers are, to 100. So it's 10 to, and that's in the last month. They're all searching for fucking oxygen.
What about one of them was headaches, one of the symptoms that some kind of headache issue. What about type in, what was it? What's another? No taste. Mm-hmm. Type in no taste and see what like America.
Just very quickly, the other things that came up was Saudi Arabia, oxygen to India. Saudi Arabia. So maybe that's where they get a lot of it. How to increase oxygen level in blood.
God. Is that what it's for?
How much should oxygen level
oxygen
be?
Into your body.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. What was the one that you just said?
No taste or loss of taste.
Lost
taste. See, just in America or worldwide, see when that peaked. Because that was a early day symptom. And I can imagine people that
worldwide
don't have any taste.
Okay, I'm going to go... rather than being 12 months, let's do a 5-year period.
Okay. Yeah. 5 years. See
so
that.
We can see
that
graph. Yeah. So January
2020.
Yeah. It's got a huge spike.
And
interesting,
so
isn't it?
If the hard bit is, how do you know? Someone has to be tapped in, like Google have to be the people looking at them.
Well, people are using this for all sorts of things. People are using this for interest in crypto, trying to work out what the trends are. So saying, oh, this is where Bitcoin was in 2018 from a public interest perspective. Here is where it is today.
Oh, yeah. You could see when Bitcoin was shooting up, Dogecoin. This is, it's interesting. I mean, do you think it's like Amazon knowing what products sell the best and then them being able to create the product around that interest? Do you think there's something that Google need to do in terms of having access to that data? They've got, we have access as Gronks.
Yeah.
But they have access at a whole another level.
Well, I think like advertising, when you see, like I was searching our business and when you search it, there's so many other businesses now that pay. There's like five ads now. Really? It's like ridiculous. You have to scroll down halfway just to get to the organic stuff.
So is that what's, is that?
So that's people paying Google to get that spot. But
is it even worth then, say if someone wants to pay a company to get them ranking?
Organic, I think, is still relevant, but I don't think it's as relevant as it was 5 years ago, maybe.
Because people don't give a shit if they're clicking on an ad or not.
Yeah, and but also it's harder to decipher what is organic results versus what's an ad. If you look 10 years ago, there was it was a completely different color. There was circles, there was a outline, sort of a rectangular outline. Now, you have to see on the on the left-hand side, a little ad.
And it's a bit
mentioned.
Bit bold or no?
Not really, no. Like, they look very similar. And so, they can be doing stuff like that. One thing that I heard on a podcast, which I thought was interesting, when it comes to trafficked websites.
What's trafficked?
Highly trafficked websites. So, like,
lots of views.
Yeah, the number one websites.
Yeah.
I found this very surprising.
Yeah.
Obviously, Yahoo, not that popular nowadays.
Isn't it? No, I fucking never
Well,
used
you just don't really hear about it.
What's
it's
popular?
Still in the top 10.
Is it?
Which I thought was very surprising.
But is Bing there? Bing top 10?
So the top 10, this is on visualcapitalist.com.
Okay.
It's a random site that I just found on Google. Google.com is number one. YouTube.com, number two.
Yeah.
Facebook.com, number three. Twitter.com, number four. Wikipedia.org is number five. The interesting thing is if you look at the valuation of these different companies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, it doesn't necessarily add up. Like Yahoo, I think, sold for something like $5 billion, which is tiny. If you compare
to Google, hundreds.
Well, so if you look at Facebook, what'd you say? Facebook, what's it called? Valuation.
Yeah.
So Facebook's valuation right now.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
$340 billion. Probably more. What are we at?
$907 billion.
Dude, that's nearly a $1 trillion business.
Mm.
You did top five there.
Yeah.
What goes on beyond top five? So Wikipedia is a not for profit. I mean, you can donate to keep the thing going.
Yeah,
Julian Assange.
Wikipedia, it's harder to see.
He started WikiLeaks, what am I saying? WikiLeaks. Sure. But you can donate to both, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Wikipedia you can.
And so what else?
Well, Wikipedia,
what
I think
rounds
like
off the list? I want to know top 10.
Then the other ones were, I want to get a different site because I feel like it's not the best site. A trafficked website.
Gives you a sense though.
Let's go on Wikipedia's most popular list. Google.
Okay. Same.
YouTube, which is the same.
Same.
Facebook. So then there's a few in China that's which I don't think the other one had. So the third one is Tmail.
Never heard of it.
Tmail. That is China.
That's their Gmail.
Yeah. Baidu, number four, China.
Yeah.
And it goes 5, 6 are both China as well.
Okay.
10 Cent, QQ, which is China. Sohu, China. Facebook, then Taobao. Don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. But yeah, I mean, so Amazon, number 10. Yahoo, number 11 on this list.
Okay. Edged out of the top 10.
Mate, but that's with all the Chinese ones.
If you're still 11, it's weird how these companies still exist. Is Bing in the top 20?
Let's have a look. So that's Microsoft, So what makes Yahoo interesting apparently is, apparently their Yahoo Finance is really good. If you want financial news,
okay,
they do like the best. So you were asking about
Bing.
Bing. Reddit's number 19.
Okay, yeah. A lot of time spent on that thing.
Bing is number 34.
Okay.
Behind MSN.com.
Jeez.
It's interesting, isn't it? See about the rocket that's 23-ton going to hit the Earth on Sunday?
A rocket?
Yes. Some space junk.
A space junk?
Mm-hmm. Which is part of a Chinese rocket.
So, hang on. A rocket,
mm-hmm,
or junk? It's an old spaceship.
So I think space junk is
okay. So it's just shit in space that they've left up there.
Say if you have a microwave, you put it in the bin. Yeah, it's now junk.
But so it's not active. They haven't used it. It's mm-hmm just it was floating up there. It's like Elon Musk's car.
Yeah. So this is from the conversation. Put a car up there? Yeah, in one of the
put his
first, was it the first one or something?
His model fucking whatever it is.
So this is from the conversation. A giant piece of space junk is hurtling towards Earth. Here's how worried you should be. A large piece of space debris, possibly weighing several tons, is currently on an uncontrolled re-entry phase. That space speak for out of control. And parts of it are expected to crash down to Earth over the next few weeks.
What country?
So, this was on May 4. They were saying it could be as south as New Zealand or as north as New York. It doesn't sound good, does
it? Well, hopefully the New Zealand area, because New Zealand's tiny. Mm-hmm. And if it hits the land in New Zealand, that's fucking unlucky, dude.
Why are you saying hopefully New Zealand?
Because New Zealand is so small.
It would wipe them out.
No, it won't. It's a ton. It's 2 ton. It's the size of a fucking
25 ton. Yeah,
25 ton. My point is, if it goes towards New York then is like its island of mm-hmm Manhattan and then goes into land, which goes for the whole of America, like from one side.
So you've got
a lot more. You've got so much sea around New Zealand. The chance of it coming down and hitting New Zealand versus off to the water. I'm saying high likelihood.
Directionally, you're saying around that way.
Better
but
option.
Not New Zealand.
We don't want it hitting New Zealand.
But the way that you're saying it is like if we had to pick between it hitting the US or New Zealand, I'm picking New Zealand.
Well, the top five, like some of the top websites are from America. They've done well. They gave us YouTube. They fucking gave us Facebook.
I'm sorry, New Zealand. No. But
New Zealand gave us Lamingtons. We ganked them off them.
Yeah.
What else? The meringue thing.
Yeah.
The disrespect we have mm-hmm for the thing we stole off them.
Yeah.
And I don't even know its name. What is it?
You mean a pavlova?
Pavlova.
Yeah. But no. So the latest thing I was watching a news report before, they were saying it's looking. It could be East Coast US sort of thing.
Dude,
they're monitoring
if that hits the US, think about all movies that are set, like all doomsday movies.
It's got to be in Hollywood.
No.
It's got to be like downtown
Godzilla,
Los Angeles.
You know, like the shit that happens mm-hmm in Endgame or one of these Avengers movies, it's like the shit goes down in New York City. Mm-hmm. How annoying.
Yeah. Well, it's primed for things like pandemics because it's highly populated.
True, but then also things like UFO sightings
mm-hmm
happen in America. Like, of course they do. Mm-hmm. There is a bunch that have been seen in Australia.
There was just something. There is something strange about that we know as Earth like the Pentagon or some organization is monitoring right now this space junk coming to Earth.
They should shoot it down. Send a rocket up. Fucking blow that shit.
I'm sure they're thinking about that stuff, but there's a bunch of things to think about. But interesting.
It's like when you say, fucking, there was a guy holding hostage people. Why don't you shoot him through the window? They never shoot through the window. Yeah. Could just hit a civil.
Well, George pointed out something, you know, which sort of made sense. He's like, mate, because think about it. 1 degree difference in regards to its trajectory could be the difference between hitting different countries.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know if that's true.
But it sounds
good. Sounds right, doesn't it?
He said it confidently.
Because it's like, oh, it's so big and it's going far
depends
out.
Where? Because the trajectory, angle-wise, as it's lower, say right now, if he just said it yesterday, it was higher up, it will definitely change it a lot more than if he says it 2 days later and then the trajectory changes. Because you're closer to the Earth off 1 degree. But if you're up here 1 degree, might go further. Don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist.
Yeah, yeah. I'm off Joe Rogan, by the way. No,
why?
You won't be. I just think, like, not reading any media stuff, but just watching his clips on YouTube. I think he's jumped the ship. Jumped the shark.
What's
jump
that mean?
The shark? Is that what you're saying? Jump the shark.
What are you trying to say?
He's jumping the shark is like going from good to bad.
Never
jumping
heard
the shark,
that.
Haven't you?
No, never.
Jumping the shark.
Jumping ship?
Jumping the shark.
Never heard that.
Yeah, no, so I just think like
he's not changed a lot.
I know, but maybe that's jumping the shark is a idiom used to describe the moment of misguided attempt of generating new publicity for something once but no longer widely popular attempts serves to highlight the irrelevance of what. So it's not, he's not really jumping the shark.
Because I don't think he tries to get any attention.
No, it's just, jumping the shark's the wrong phrase. I just think that I can see the danger in someone just consuming that content. And I think if everyone thought like Joe Rogan on a bunch of things, it wouldn't be great. Like, I think, like, your uncle. You can still respect someone and what they've done, but then also be like, oh, you know, that uncle or whatever is just a bit fucking tweaked with X, Y, and Z. I think that there is the fandom where he sort of is untouchable to a lot of people where it's like, oh, Joe, like, no, you just don't get him. You just need to spend time listening to him. But no, some of the stuff he says is trash as well.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're only consuming one person, it becomes the bubble.
Think about how much content that he produces. Like, I remember hearing people say, like, podcasts, like, how do you have time for all of it? Like, there's many people who their only podcast experience would be Joe Rogan.
Of course. I mean, he is the biggest podcast in the world. So it's.
Yeah. And so I think, I guess there's maybe a flippancy to his style or whatever. I just went asked, like, talking about the rocket stuff, and I just think, man, we've got no idea, right?
But he does the same. I appreciate that about him because that's more – I think that's why he's become so big, because he's a guy who is okay to just have a dumb conversation. And he's like, I actually don't have no idea. Because that's fun.
I think
rockets and trajectory.
I know.
And George coming in, mate, fucking seriously, dude, we're off.
But I think that potentially that's how, like, if you think about 2021 and it's the misinformation, like, you know, the last few years, how much misinformation. Obviously, mainstream media is horrendous with misinformation and stuff, but there's this other version of misinformation, alternate truths, all this stuff that's happening that's, I think, especially with the guests that he selects too, I think that through guest selection.
I think he does what he wants. That's the thing. You could look and see there's a heap of men that he has. His point will be, I'm fucking doing what I want. And he can't be, and you don't tell him what to do. This is the thing. A lot of the mainstream media would try and tell you, you need diversity, you need this. Like, yeah. And there will be a bunch of people that will be a part of that and listen to that. But if he doesn't have to. You don't have to. If you don't want diversity, you don't need to do it. That's not you don't have to have that rest on your shoulders. Bit different when you have the biggest podcast in the world. Mm-hmm. You probably need to stop and ask a few more questions.
Which one is it? Is it that like, because
I think you don't have to, but I'm saying when you have something so big, mm-hmm. there's probably a few more questions to ask yourself are going, am I?
So I feel like there is a response. I think there is a layer of responsibility when you have so much
or is
control
there? Who's
culture.
Decided that?
No, well, I think that
I think that's like an external view on a lot of this is like, look at all the responsibility. Does he want that? Did he choose that? He just did a thing that became this thing. And so that's hard because then you feel so much external pressure. Mm-hmm. And this is why people send it in such a way that it becomes this thing that they never wanted to create. Now they're fucking ordered to, you know, they're being ordered to have who other people want on. And not everyone has to listen to that. There will be some people that will ride that ship and it will be beneficial. But I don't think it needs to be everybody's. Not everybody has to be a person that, you know, attends rallies for helping change things. It's like you don't have to feel guilty that you don't do that.
But I think that there's a difference between having a platform, and so the way that he communicates and the platform that he has, they are sort of his tools. That's how he sort of communicates his worldview and what he believes in and all of that sort of thing.
Which
and
is, so it's cool. If you don't believe him, if you don't like what he says. Yeah. Or it doesn't resonate. You don't have to listen.
Yeah, I think it's probably like a faux progressiveness. I think that happens with him, where he's like, where I think people will say, oh, he's like quite actually a progressive guy because of X, Y, and Z. Whereas, but I think that it's actually just some of it's just there is a bunch of like misinformation or just stuff that's like on the line where I'm like, I can look at it objectively or whatever, or semi-objectively and say, okay, this is how I feel about it. But I can just imagine the enabling that it could do without actually full context. You just hear conversations and you think, okay, I wonder, you know, there's a flippancy to the style of the conversation, which I think that we're lucky to have just based on our size and a bunch of other things. But I think that he, you know, Dr. Fauci had to like come out and respond to him, you know, around stuff. He had to come out and re-clarify stuff on his views around vaccines. But then you also have, do you want a broadcaster? So think about what people listen to. So whether it's Joe Rogan or it's an AM talk back person, whilst they're great communicators, they don't actually know everything. And there is a danger in when you are such a good communicator, you can communicate misinformation better than anyone else.
But if you like the most progressive person, if you're categorizing, is doing a version of that too. And so this is the thing. He's doing him. There's other people that would be saying
I wonder why I resonate with
shit.
Him.
Exactly. That's I find the interesting bit on this is like, why do I like someone's content at some point? You know?
Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle, why am I fucking so... it feels like it's resonating. It's like, aha. You know how you get... But then I've listened to him before. I didn't really... Maybe I just wasn't ready.
Do you ever watch Joe Rogan... with Amy?
No, I don't listen to him as much.
Because I noticed, like, I think that's part of it too. It's like Bree just hearing, like, oh, we'll just have a snippet up. It's like, this guy sounds like a pig. Is this Joe Rogan? Like, who is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can see what content triggers people and it usually it categorizes you at some point, you know? Like, so Bree's obviously...
doesn't like misogyny, so if someone's...
I don't think everyone would think Joe Rogan is misogynistic if that's what Bree thinks. And at that point, there then is this different level, Bree's life, what she consumes, what she experiences, all of that. And then when it falls, because you can't just be like, Joe Rogan's a misogynist.
I think that he says misogynistic things. Yeah. Sure. And so that's the thing, like outside of, you know, who he is as a person, I think that that's a thing where it's like, oh, like it's interesting that, I don't know, maybe my expectation was that maybe he's always been like this and I just like landed on things like him interviewing Louis Theroux or stuff like that, where he's not saying anything really that controversial. But maybe if it's him with his fighting mates or his different people, it's a different tone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100% different tone. And I could imagine that doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
The boys. Mm-hmm. It's like they do talk in a certain way. And so, I mean, I like that there's content out there that it can appeal to all different types. And so, but that's why you won't end up listening to it. Which it's a natural filtration system. And then if it's as bad as people think it is, and he is going off on this fucking... But so, then it's a time. Like, what is the mainstream media?
So if you think about Bodhi, how he's affected by the media that he consumes, and then you think about young people consuming certain types of content, so the type of person that might be... that might appeal, like the Joe Rogan stuff appeals to them. I could see how that you could easily create a closed world view.
But that's what people who are progressive do the exact same thing in their own space.
And so the thing is like,
and this is the problem that it can get toxic. If you just watched, what's his name? Jones.
Alex Jones
for 10 hours a day. You would form some view that aligns very closely to Alex's based on what he's saying. Or if you listen to, you know, something, you know, far progressive.
So do you think is that something that you try and do, watch a diversity of content?
I do, yeah. Yeah. Spiritual stuff, talking shit, the boys fighting, things I'm interested in. You know, and so it does vary. It does vary heaps. And so it varies in that I'm not just watching old mate Rogan. I actually can't remember. I haven't listened to a full episode.
Have you actively watched content with women in it?
What do you mean?
Like in the diversity thing, the boys, all that sort of stuff. Stuff on where it's women hosting or things like that?
I haven't... sorted out. I don't know.
Because I feel like that there's an element which is like, if it's like saying I've got a diversity and like look at the plate of food, it's so diverse.
Diverse in the different topics.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is like diversity. It's like, look, I've got lamb, I've got beef, I've got chicken, I've got some seafood. Like I've got a diverse plate of food. But there's like the other version, which is like actually completely different areas. I don't necessarily think, like, I think I naturally, like, there's some of that, the Rogan stuff, but I don't, like, I think that I probably...
You can listen to fucking a heap of guy shit and still be a good guy.
That's not what I'm saying.
You cannot listen to female content and still not be a fucking pig, piece of shit misogynist. That's okay. And so this is the feeling that even like the way you frame that can make someone else feel. And this is what a lot of people do in these online platforms is make people feel a certain way by asking them. It's like maybe you feel uncomfortable, but it's like the question's framed to feel uncomfortable. That's the point. Well, that's the purpose, I think, of it, right?
But I think that it depends. Like, so what you're saying is it's like Joe Rogan's not saying misogynistic shit. Bree just thinks that he's saying misogynistic shit.
Exactly right. Because someone else doesn't think it's misogynistic, someone thinks it is, and so they're both. I'll rephrase that. They're probably both right in some capacity.
Yeah, I feel like there's. If you think about where you're skewed, everyone's got like a little bit of a skew a certain way, and so. The thing with just talking about that stuff is it's I find it hard to explain. I guess the it's not about making people feel bad, but it's like saying, I listen to a wide range. Like, that's what so many people say, which is like, I listen to a wide range of stuff and I'm not like, I'm not racist or I'm not the, I just, this is what I like. Mm. And there's probably people who feel that, like, actually, like, they feel that way. Like, I think there's a lot of people who don't feel like they're misogynistic. They don't feel like they're racist. They don't feel all these things. But the media that they consume gives them one perspective on life. And I think that stuff like the Rogan thing does lean towards a bunch of a certain
I
style.
Agree. If you're just listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it would become a problem.
Mm.
If you're just listening to us,
mm-hmm.
it's a problem.
Mm.
There are other things that will give you a different perspective. And you don't have to agree with everything you... I don't agree with everything Rogan says.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, it's a bit... He's a bit off. Or, yeah. You know, Uncle Joe's fucking at it again.
Yeah.
And so, you can listen and feel that way. It's just, I wonder, at what point? Like, when does something shift so much?
So, when someone says that he's misogynistic...
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't have to agree. And so,
the thing is that
someone's opinion on me not agreeing with that is just their thinking.
Mm.
And like, it's just my thinking that he is not a misogynist.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool. Like, but if you can't accept that, like I am saying, you are thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, that is your version of what you think based on your experiences and all of that. But it's like, if you've just watched Rogan from a headline perspective over the last 5 years, you wouldn't understand the content. If you had taken snippets of this show, you wouldn't understand what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't understand. You'd get a glimpse at a moment. But if you have consumed more episodes, you're like, I see there's a bunch of things.
And so I guess that's my point, is when you consume... It's very hard to create an understanding for someone if you're actually not in the content. If you're just getting headlines, you're not getting it. And so that's as true with the Rogan stuff as it is with other content that's out there.
Mm.
And so there's that idea around consuming other content is a way of moving your perspective in another way, if that makes sense, or at least understanding a different version.
Yeah. And there's worth in doing that.
But I understand the comfortability. I understand the comfortability in, it's like not too dissimilar to how I feel with the golf stuff, where it's like, you can just go all in on a certain type of thing because it feels like the more in you get, there's like more rewards, or it's like, it's easier. And so it becomes like, you become hyper focused on something, if that makes sense.
And I think golf is everywhere.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. Actually becoming a big sport.
It is. But I think there's like a, I just want, like, I think that everyone sort of gravitates to something at a given time. And I think that that's like the Eckhart Tolle stuff, is because that's what you're needing right now.
Yeah. And so, like, the big difference between someone like a fucking big hand clapper. What's his name?
Tony Robbins.
5D. Yeah. Like, if you're into his content, which I have been at certain points, but doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah. But don't you? Here's one thought. Like, so say, for instance, the women in your life are consuming one type of content and then you're consuming another type of content.
Is this hypothetical?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a different type of thinking. It's almost this weird thing where it's like, we are all having our own individual experience, but they could be extremely different.
Yeah.
Like a different way of looking at life, a different way of communicating.
I've got friends that are quite extreme in their thinking, and others that are probably more, they would say libertarian, but you know, it could be seen as sort of right-leaning thinking, and also the progressives. And so if you hold friends that are solely progressive or alt-right, there's going to be a flow-on effect. Because you won't want to have a conversation with someone outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can be friendly and have friends and see value in, you know, someone talking about something you have no interest in thinking, or not in interest, but no, it doesn't resonate at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's healthy in that you can have some dialogue. I love having fired up conversations with my mates.
Mm-hmm.
It is good. But there would be a lot of people that wouldn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Any of that whatsoever. It is complete echo chamber mm-hmm. of, you know, their stance on life.
Yeah.
And so if that's you, how is it in there? This is where we need some reverb.
I think we have all
need some reverb.
We all have our echo chamber stuff. And there's like, it's not about like the polarizing of this, like, I don't bring it up to be polarizing. I bring it up because it actually impacts how we all think, how we do. Mm. Like, if one person is like, what that person did is wrong and I don't agree, and another person says, that's funny and I like it, obviously we've always had that in society, but it feels like it's elevated now, or there's a... Or at least we're maybe more in tune with that there is another version. And I think that that's like the biggest challenge.
What's the other version?
I think that the challenge is creating some level of understanding between two different beliefs. Like,
that'd be great.
Yeah, which...
yeah, it'd be fucking awesome. Yeah. But it butts heads when there's two parties that don't want to fucking listen to anyone else mm-hmm. but themselves,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying.
I think that the one thing is that there's probably in every sort of thing, there's sort of the provocateur or like the provocative side, and then there's the one that's not happy about that. Mm-hmm. And so...
Which is hard, because I think that
potentially
content-
the provocative side is potentially... the more obvious one potentially to that could change or to empathize or whatever. So for instance, say if Rogan's saying some sort of word that, you know, he's calling women a bunch of sluts or something, like he says something like that. So he says that, we get upset, or, you know, Bree's like, what the fuck is, like, how dare he, like, fucking talk, like, who does he think he is talking about people like that? So there's the, in that moment, there's one option which seems like the old version, which hasn't served us, which is boys will be boys, he's just having a bit of fun, it's all good. And then there's another version on Rogan's end, which is like, oh, like, what am I getting out of, like, what am I adding to a story or to a thing by saying something provocative in that way? So, does that make sense? So, like, I work out in using an example like that, how do you reconcile that? You could say, oh, you know what? Like, he's around his mates, but you can see how that, like, at what point.
Or he can say what he wants to say. He has the right to say what he wants to say, which I think a lot of people would take it there is like, that's one example.
But that then impacts worldview. It impacts how someone's interacting with women. Like, I wonder, like, if, you know, yeah, it's, I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's a hard one. Like, when you then take it to comedy and what people do for laughs, and
I wonder how much, I don't think that there's that much in the way that people criticize Rogan on the comedy side. I think that it's a lot of it is in stuff that's very politicized, very where a lot of people are divided.
I mean, imagine waking up looking imagine that just being your experience. Like, as in choosing to talk about certain things And that's the result.
That's what we are doing. That's what we all are unconsciously doing, right? Like we're trying to work out. We all have our version of that. That's what the hilarious thing about the whole thing is. It's like imagine being Joe Rogan, but at the end of the day, we actually all have a version of that, but it's just...
Not everyone's broadcasting to the amount of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you've got any thoughts, questions, make sure you hit the like button too.
Send Bitcoin.
Yeah. Have a good one, guys.
See you guys.